Management experts say accountability is among the most important elements you'll find at work in the cultures of successful organizations. On this episode of McLaren Leadership Podcast, we're going to talk about what accountability means and how to create and sustain a culture of accountability in a time of change. With Julie Lubzinski, she is McLaren Medical Group President and CEO. I'm Michael Carice, and Julie, why don't we start by having you give us your definition of accountability?
I believe that there's a balance between leadership accountability and really personal accountability, but that stretches into responsibility as well, especially in starting in a new organization like I have at McLaren. So I'm about 8 months into the role, and it was really important that I initially take the time to understand the culture. How does McLaren, how does the system, how does this culture drive results? Even more intimately than I learned throughout the interviewing process, understanding the dynamics and building relationships across the organization is key to my success and any successful leader in an organization. And that goes for my own team as well. This is really important. I find that knowing my team and being transparent, even vulnerable at times with my team, allows them to trust and invest in me and really follow the vision. And that helps with accountability. The trust, I think, is important to call out to gain accountability. Because we all understand we have responsibility, it's taking it to that next level. The differentiator is being able to be responsible for the role that I'm in, and then taking it a step further around accountability is getting the job done and taking it to the next step, really critically thinking what I need to do beyond what I'm just responsible for.
So that's really about holding yourself accountable in a way.
As I think about coming into a new role, but even in my other positions, gaining the trust of the team, setting the vision, role clarity, and really helping the team align to the priorities of the organization, to our subsidiary, and to focus our efforts lends itself to more accountability as well, because people really want to understand what's my role, what am I going to be accountable for, how do you measure my performance. And so I believe that setting that clarity is really important as well in accountability.
So are there differences in the ways in which leaders should be held accountable as compared to the frontline staff? And if so, give me some examples of what that looks like.
I believe that all roles are equally as important across the enterprise. And actually, those of the frontline staff and our providers in a healthcare system are really important. And so I think there's differences across leaders, individual contributors, even the executive team. But I think those forward-facing employees and our staff, I mean, they're the face of our communities and those we serve. They're our first impression, the healing touch, the welcoming voice. They have the answers to so many important questions, and they're customer service representatives based on how organizations are set up inherently. And I was thinking about this just today when I talked to a team member. There's differences in how we are held accountable, but at the end of the day, we all have similar measures of success, and it's our performance review. And I believe we should all be held accountable to the core success measures of our organization and our subsidiaries. And we're doing that across the medical group in different ways, and incrementally over time, we are embedding throughout each of our business units and each of our practices our priorities so that it's visible to everybody and they're very aware of our goals and they can be part of the solution. It's understanding what they're responsible for and then taking it to the next level. Again, like I said, that step further of accountability.
So as leaders like yourself work to create a culture of accountability, how do you assess the people involved versus the process in looking at the overall outcomes?
Yeah, that's really important. I think about this in three ways around people, culture, and then results. And that's always top of mind for me as a leader. I think about people as we develop others, build trust, set expectations, and culture of how we get our work done, right? Being inclusive, supportive, transparent, giving feedback in real time. And those also lends itself to more accountability because people are developed appropriately, and they understand how we're going to work together. And then results, I believe, are self-evident in a high-functioning team. I believe once we ensure that the roles and objectives are clarified, assessing the strengths and the opportunities of each individual on the team is really important, and that should be a priority. Part of the assessment is outcome. At the end of the day, what do we execute on? How do we get our work done? How am I going to be measured? But we also need to really understand how a leader is building resilience. How is their team responding to them? How are they executing? Do they have self-awareness regarding their own strengths and opportunities? I love to observe the leader with their direct reports and peers. It tells me so much about my individual team members.
What kind of things do you learn?
I think you can observe a lot in a leader, how they interact, how they motivate, how they set a vision, how they communicate with others in a way that is inclusive as well as supportive, but also willing to raise their hand and maybe bring up something that isn't going well and potentially a whole different idea than the whole group has talked about. So really observing that in others helps me define where our leaders are, where their strengths are, and how I can rely on those across the team versus really looking at their weaknesses or opportunities. I tend to try to pull out the strengths. I believe that helps us be more accountable. I think I know this for a fact, that one way I've maintained this commitment to the team, and I think it's very important around accountability and developing our leaders, is I hold one-on-one biweekly meetings with each of my senior team members. And I know a lot of leaders do that, or they do it in many ways. But I'm very prescriptive on purpose about how I discuss their team, how they're doing, their progress, of course, on particular projects, but how they're doing, their resilience. You know, we have dialogue, how I can best support them. Am I getting in their way? Do I need to lean in more or lean out? I also hold weekly team meetings in order just to watch the team interact, discuss priorities, assist with clarifying questions and team building. You know, we need to make sure along the way consistently that we're addressing the priorities and how our people are doing. And I do that very frequently so that we can assess that potential people culture and results ongoing.
So what's your advice for a leader who's coming into a situation where they are kind of creating the culture of accountability? It really wasn't in place before, and they're trying to move their teams in that direction. What's some advice on that?
Well, I think it's fairly simple that a culture of accountability, I say it's fairly simple, it's not easy, but a culture of accountability is crucial to our success, and everybody says that and knows that. And getting to that culture is about getting the team involved, getting staff involved, getting the right voices to the table, setting priorities, role clarity, being very clear, keeping my word, and then give immediate feedback. I think it's really important, too, to celebrate the wins, but be very, very clear in areas that aren't working or where we have opportunities. But I definitely see vast opportunity when you get the team involved and they know what the set clear priorities are and what performance expectations they have.
And then what happens if there's some resistance, or if the people start saying, well, you're being tougher on me than other people, there's, you know, or if they're raising a fairness question, how can leaders help ensure accountability is not viewed as punitive or uneven?
I approach that in a couple different ways. I'm very process-oriented, so that helps, right? So I'm a servant leader, and I believe that success and the progress of each individual propels a team forward. And that's probably the core of my brand. But I also have found that embedding the mindset of continuous improvement, such as lean operating system, Six Sigma tools, right? The group can focus on the work and the outcomes and not so much an individual. So it's inclusive. It also allows all levels in the organization. So we don't tend to just look at particular leaders to lead work or to come up with solutions, but all levels in the organization are held accountable in that way. As I think about this, at the end of the day, the leader of the team is accountable for the results, including me. And my job, though, is to have that engaged team well positioned to execute. My goal is that each leader and the team member have the desire to do their job well and to be curious enough to learn and grow and feel comfortable to raise their hand and elevate concern or potentially have better ideas. I truly believe by being process-oriented around the work and the priorities and set really clear expectations helps distribute the work and the outcomes, the accolades, more across the board. I'm really proud of the incremental success we've had here over the past 6 months. Honestly, it's been really challenging coming into this role and bringing the groups together. We've led demonstrative change across the organization, though, Mike, and it's something we should be really proud of. The team has grasped the change of leadership. We're seeing a lot of progress. It's been really rewarding to watch the leadership team grow and become more inclusive, including their teams along the way. We've increased our accountability in multiple different ways, and we're starting to see results in our engagement surveys, getting physicians more involved. We're seeing results in our financials, our margin, as well as how we're starting to address problems and get solutions. So it seems to be working here.
Well, that's great news, and I'm glad you were able to join us today to fill us in. You've been listening to Julie Lipczynski. She is McLaren Medical Group President and CEO, and she's been our guest on this edition of McLaren Leadership Podcast. Thanks for listening. Hope you can join us again.